If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So POTUS right now is speaking at a forum. It's a free market forum that's being held in Riyadh. And he arrived about, well, I mean, technically yesterday. It's the Saudi-U.S. Investment Forum. He's speaking there along with, I mean, obviously you have the Mohammed bin Salman, who's the MBS, the head of Saudi Arabia, the crown prince. You have, I'm trying to think of the number of, you have a lot of big companies that are there, including the BlackRock. You got them there as well. But it is a very interesting speech that POTUS is giving. And we're going to isolate one part of it that came about maybe a minute or 2 minutes before what you just heard. It's only delayed by a few minutes. And I thought it was very smart because POTUS is up there and clearly you can tell that he has a really good relationship with MBS. We'll call him MBS for short. And he got up there, and when he was speaking, he immediately, he went in very, you know, segued into the Abraham Accords and the importance of Saudi Arabia signing on to the Abraham Accords, which they have indicated that they are open to doing. And I thought that was very interesting that he did that in Riyadh in front of Mohammed bin Salman and all of these other dignitaries and leaders that are there. And it's very, very, it was very interesting. He got a very warm welcome, which is, I mean, and we're going to talk about this. I can't even discuss how different it is from what Joe Biden got. So we're going to discuss all of that. Welcome to the program. We're at the top of this first hour. And we may dive back in, just in and out of this address. Trump, it's a major speech that he's making. And I think some of the most important sound bites we've already nabbed, including Kane found the one that, I mean, it just happened. He snipped the one that I was just referencing because I thought that was incredibly, it was an incredibly important aspect. Because also, I mean, you have to remember, for some reason, Biden, as like a continuation of Obama Biden, was so much like more inclined towards Iran. And, you know, you have the Shia-Sunni conflict, was so much more inclined towards Iran to the point where it was detrimental to our relationship with Saudi Arabia. And I think you will remember when Biden went to Saudi Arabia hat in hand after he had insulted Mohammed bin Salman and the other other leaders in Saudi Arabia. And after he insulted them, and called him names, essentially. And then they told him to go pound sand over the price of crude. Now look at the difference in reception. And we're going to talk a little bit about the changes that have undergone, that Saudi Arabia has undergone. It is a very different nation than what it was 10 years ago. And it sounds weird for a lot of us to for some people to say that or to even realize it. But there has been a major shift in direction in that country. And we're going to discuss that because it's all playing right now, honestly, in the United States' favor. So again, welcome. This is the soundbite that I was referencing. I think that this was one of the biggest ones. Can we play that? Yeah.
And with the historic Abraham Accords that we're so proud of, all the momentum was aimed at peace. And it aimed very successfully. It's been an amazing thing, the Abraham Accords. And it's my fervent hope, wish, and even my dream that Saudi Arabia, a place I have such respect for, especially over the last fairly short period of time, what you've been able to do, but will soon be joining the Abraham Accords. I think it'll be a tremendous tribute to your country. And it will be something that's really going to be very important for the future of the Middle East. I took a risk in doing them, and they've been an absolute bonanza for the countries that have joined. the Biden administration did nothing for 4 years, we would have had it filled out. But it will be a special day in the Middle East with the whole world watching when Saudi Arabia joins us. And you'll be greatly honoring me, and you'll be greatly honoring all of those people that have fought so hard for the Middle East. And I really think it's going to be something special, but you'll do it in your own time. And that's what I want, and that's what you want, and that's the way it's going to be.
That's key. You'll do it in your own time. So he's noting, he's acknowledging, okay, yes, you know, you have indicated that you're open to joining the Abraham Accords, which have done a lot to stabilize the Middle East. And in fact, on October 7th, you had a lot of cooperation from those signatories against Hamas, against Iran, and in response to that atrocity. And Saudi Arabia is, again, it's very different than what it was when we were all, I mean, a couple of decades ago, very, very different. And he's saying, notice how he ended that soundbite. You're going to do it in your own time, noting that they're moving towards that. And he says, he's indicating, I'm not pressuring you, but I want this done. And he's saying that in Riyadh in front of all of them, saying, yes, we want you to join the Abraham Accords. And he's also saying that this is a different direction than what it was under the Obama-Biden regime. The Biden regime was just the third term of Barack Obama's tenure. And it's a very different direction because the United States was favoring Saudi Arabia's geopolitical foe, which is Iran, whereas the United States is going back to Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia is, I can't emphasize how much different it is, whether it's women driving or whether it's women having more representation in the courts, which all contributes to stronger family units, or whether opening up to more capitalistic opportunities, as well as getting away from some of the factions previously in the family that have been very much inclined against the United States. And that's what a lot of people don't realize as well. It's very different. And it's their Vision 2030 project. And you could tell even back when they had Mohammed bin Nayef, who was the crown prince, they were signaling this. The Trump administration noted that there was definitely a clear transition underway. And then after he was out, Mohammed bin Salman, who is the crown prince and the de facto prime minister, he's the driving force behind that Vision 2030. And they are modernizing. They are, a lot of people are like, oh, well, they're trying to, you know, whitewash, for the lack of a better way to put it. There's a lot of missing nuance in that there are different factions in their leadership, just as there are different factions in the leadership of the United States. And the leadership that wanted to modernize and become more normalized relations with the United States is the faction that won out. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, the opening to investment in the United States and these deals, the fact that they're even leaning towards the Abraham Accords, which is, you know, incredibly important, their response to in the face of October 7th. And just looking at some of the other, like, for instance, you know, they're getting involved in, yes, entertainment and in sports. But also, and this might sound like something silly and stupid, but I think it's a good measure of where a nation is. They started having women's, like, fashion shows for women, which is something unheard of there 15, 20 years ago. They had swimsuit fashion shows, and not like the full one piece or the, you know, you're going to wear your wetsuit burka into the sea. No, like actual, you know, fashion shows. I'm not saying that they're leaning towards, you know, crudeness or anything like, you know, what you would see, I think, honestly, at some Victoria's Secret walkways, but they're opening up the idea to modernization and incorporating all of this. It's just, I think it's incredibly significant. Not every nation can be the United States, but nations that open up to capitalist opportunities and alliances with the United States that also are in lockstep with our national interest and our national security, that's a huge thing that should be acknowledged. I think already this has been a major victory for the administration, a big optic. I mean, think about this. The non-oil sector, I just have some data for you. The non-oil sector in Saudi Arabia, I mean, that was what a driving force was. By 2022, that had grown to account for almost 60% of their GDP. And they began attracting millions upon millions upon millions of international visitors. They doubled. Now, it's by choice. It's women who want to have something to do, especially as their kids get older. Women's participation in the workforce nearly doubled. by choice, not because of third wave feminists like what we've seen in the United States driving people to have to subsist on two incomes just to support one family. They lifted the driving ban. That was a huge thing. Go back to MIA when she did her her one video where she was pretending that she was, you know, they were racing in the desert. That was in statement to the previous faction's ban on women being able to drive. Women couldn't go to doctor's appointments. They couldn't go. That's been lifted. Unemployment has fallen. And they culturally, they have Western, they've been opening up to Western retailers, to American businesses. It is very stunning. Women don't have to enter through the back door anymore. You would not have thought of this. You've seen it 15 years ago. And these are just some smaller steps that indicate an even bigger movement. I think that the United States needs as many alliances as possible, especially when you have China, Russia, and Iran. And this is proving, they're proving to be a potentially good one. That's all I'm saying. And I think it's been very interesting. And clearly, you know, you've seen the reaction to Trump. Or I mean, he got, you know, the escort in as they were descending into Riyadh. They had the fighter jets that were accompanying them. And apparently they broke protocol and MBS met him on the tarmac. Now, I'm also going to tell you, I'm not going to be wowed by little stunts of theater. None of those things move me. But my point in bringing these up to you is the difference in reception from this administration to the previous one and how they're taking our country seriously again, because now we're being serious about things, whether or not we're having trouble getting it accomplished in Congress, but they're taking it seriously. They're taking the leadership of the United States seriously again. We have a lot more on this. Plus, we got to talk about how Democrats finally met refugees they don't like. Oh, yeah, we have a Mean Girls moment on the way. A lot to unpack in today's program as we move. It's our friends at All Family Pharmacy. Love this company. Love the website. Love how easy it is to get the medications that I need. And whether it is things that the government try to keep from you, like, oh, I don't know, ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, whether it's antibiotics or your everyday maintenance medicines, you can take control. You can get like a 1-year supply of your essential medicines, like medicines for blood pressure or cholesterol or diabetes. You can skip last minute pharmacy runs and stay ahead of your health. When you order your medications directly, you don't have to worry about waiting in line or the refills. Convenience is absolutely everything. And it's simple, it's fast, it's affordable. No insurance, no problem. They have straightforward pricing, online ordering. They ship everything in 2 to 4 days. Or if you really need it fast, if it's a serious issue, you can get overnight in a pinch. Your health is always within reach. And order from the comfort of home. Let them deliver right to your door. The big thing, in addition to the easiness of ordering, is that it's all made in the USA. How many people can say that? You know that your medications are manufactured right here in this country. High standards of quality and safety. You don't have to worry about inputs from China. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. That's how you get 10% off. Use code Dana10. You get 10% off your order. Be prepared. Protect yourself and your family today. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Coupon code Dana10 to save 10%.
If you like true crime, you'll love the Miracle Files podcast.
We share real stories with the suspense of true crime, but we'll leave you with a sense of light and hope.
Like the college wrestler who fought a grizzly, the woman who was dead for nearly an hour, or the child lost in a dark mine for days. These are the kind of stories that remind us miracles are real.
Subscribe to The Miracle Files wherever you get your podcasts and join us on this thrilling journey of faith and miracles.
New data shows consistent polar ice levels for 20 years. Great news for everyone except the climate alarmists. Democrats in Colorado push new immigration laws to help illegals avoid deportation. And Republicans try to end shady lawmaker stock trading with the Pelosi Act. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs, too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Gosh, we got consumer price index we got to discuss as well. It's a big packed show today. New health issue for Joe Biden is apparently somebody found a nodule, a doctor found a nodule on his prostate. Hot topic of conversation. I mean, I'm surprised it's just a nodule. I just think they said that so far the nature of it has not been determined yet. It's still like very early on, but they said it's too soon to say if it's benign or if it's like, you know, inflammation or anything of that issue. Let's see. Also, the Cannes Film Festival has banned risque outfits after years of trashy, provocative red carpet displays. I want to go back to the days of like Grace Kelly and Audrey Hepburn and like where it was actual tailoring and class and beauty instead of skanky, like herpes looking type of stuff. I mean, everybody looks like they have been rode and hung up. Can I be honest about it? They do. They look nasty. A lot of it's not fashion, and a lot of these ladies do not need to be wearing bodycon. You can't do that, okay? If I see fat rolls sticking out the back of your dress, that means bodycon's too tight for you. Don't do it. And if you're a celebrity and you have stylists, you should not even be making that error. Madonna canceled her movie about herself, so it's going straight to Netflix. I don't really care. Who is that one Julia chick from Ozark playing her? Because if not, I don't care. Cargo thieves are attacking the U.S. supply chain at alarming rates. Total reported losses have topped, this is wild, $500 million. According to industry insiders, they think it might be lower per CNBC than the true total, but not sure. Stick with us. We've got a lot in store. Democrats finally met refugees they don't like. Shocking, right? Home Title Lock is one such company. Now, your home is your most valuable asset. So when's the last time that you checked on your home's title? You know, the legal proof that you own your own house. The issue is that in today's AI and cyber world, scammers will steal your home titles and your equity is the target. They can forge your signature on a document. They can use a fake notary stamp, pay a small fee with your county, and before you know it, your home's title has been totally transferred out of your name. You need to get a free title history report and 14-day trial of the $1 million triple lock protection, and you can do that at hometitlelock.com using promo code Dana. You're not even going to know. If somebody forges something, you're not going to know what happened. I mean, it's transferred without you ever being aware. And then when you find out, you find out usually through foreclosure notices or collection calls. And then you have to hire a lawyer. And it is a very expensive legal battle just to get back what is yours. Always, always protect your assets, particularly your biggest one. Use promo code Dana at HometitleLock.com and make sure your title is still in your name. You'll get a free title history report, plus a free 14-day trial of their $1 million triple lock protection, 24/7 monitoring of your title, urgent alerts to any changes and a fraud should happen. They'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. Visit HometitleLock.com today and use promo code Dana.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
POTUS there in Riyadh as they play the Star-Spangled Banner, welcoming him to the nation ahead of the Saudi Arabian U.S. investment forum. He had a very warm welcome and broke protocol even by greeting him on the tarmac, which he did not do previously at all with Joe Biden. They would always send a subordinate. People were trying to downplay it this morning. I saw all of the excuses this morning that, oh my gosh, no, it wasn't. He didn't. They sent a subordinate to greet Biden at the airport. And then when he would arrive at the palace, that's when MBS would come out and greet him. And I think that that's important. I also think it's Saudi Arabia knowing that we have a penchant in the United States for, you know, that kind of political theater. And they really wanted to drive home the point how much they don't like Biden. That's why let's be real. That's why they're doing it. They did not like Biden. Biden was bad for business. Biden was bad for international relations. Biden leaned towards their geopolitical enemy, Iran. So they're really driving it home. Like, I don't think you could have more of a middle finger in the air than the welcome that Trump got to Democrats than what Saudi Arabia gave to POTUS as he arrived in Riyadh. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this first hour. That's one of the things that I love about these things. I will watch videos over and over again of their first interactions, how they're sitting, where they're sitting, because body language, you can be the best actor. You can be the best statesman. Everybody's got a tell. Everybody has a tell. See, sidebar. Like, one of my... I would have loved to one day been a spy. I think it would have been very fun to do that. It would have been very fun. Like, you watch everybody and you, like, mirror what they're doing. There's a lot of psychology in it. But, and I will say, I think Trump went in strong. I know there's a lot of criticism of some of the stuff that he's been doing lately, but I think that him going in the way that he did, and then he dropped very nicely, I thought in a very nice way. We played that soundbite, you know, in really kind of nudging them towards making it official instead of just indicating that they wanted to be on Team Abraham Accords. And he says, you know, you'll do it your own way, and that's fine. That's how we would have you do it. I mean, that's, I thought that was a power move, and that was very smart that his very first address, not even a third of the way through, and he brought it up. That needs to continually be brought up. So that's good. You know, Iran, they're probably so mad right now. They're watching all of this. They're so mad because what are they left to? They're left to use their nasty little stinky factions, their little great value factions, right? Your little Hezbollah ragtag team of welfare terrorists. You know, your Hamas, your little ragtag team of welfare terrorists. They're not even smart enough to properly set up a rocket, so they blow up their own damn schools. They're not even smart enough to administer a strip of land that Israel had no problem administering. And then Hamas gets a hold of it. And what do? They run it into third world status, like, instantly. Digging tunnels, stealing copper, because they're animals. Because Hamas are animals. I've seen dogs and packs that can govern better than what they can. It's true. So, great speech. We're going to come back to it. We finally met some refugees that Democrats don't like. Have you heard about what's going on in South Africa? We've only touched on it here and there, but they got a problem in South Africa, a big problem. The overcorrection is genocidal. They're killing white farmers in South Africa because they're white. And so all Trump did is said, hey, if you are fleeing racial violence, because it's not, I've met people from South Africa at different confabs before, and it is a very real thing. What ends up happening is the government will step in. They've changed a lot of policies in recent years, and land that, you know, these people know how to farm and know how to irrigate and know how to manage, etc., is forcibly taken from them, and then it's given to different families of color. And then those families have no idea about land management. They have no idea about agriculture. They have no idea about livestock. They have no idea about anything as it pertains to farming or ranching. And then you don't have any yield. Everything goes sideways. And then now you're having a problem with your produce and your food supply. There's a lot of genocidal. There's a lot of violence over there right now against particularly white South African farmers. And I think a lot of people in media are afraid to talk about it because a lot of people, including on the right, have been conditioned that if you bring this up at all, then somehow you're a white supremacist, which is so stupid. It's an emotional trick designed to keep people quiet about the issue so that the atrocities can continue. And I don't know if you've seen some of this stuff from some of these leaders that they have over there, but it's pretty rough. And So Trump decided he was going to allow people who are fleeing this genocidal violence to be able to come as actual refugees to the United States. And that's really how ultimately that whole program is supposed to work. Now, I want to play for you two sound bites. First, I'm going to play, this is CNN. Of course, it's CNN. And they're trying to say that this is all a lie and that Trump is lying. Listen to this.
The South African president says the people arriving in the U.S. today do not fit the definition of refugees and that what Trump has been told about their persecution is false.
Huh. Well, that's not true at all. I mean, we've been able to see a lot of this stuff. They're doing what you would call property expropriation. It's a very terrifying development, what has been happening over there. And this has been going on for quite some time. They're following the Zimbabwe model. Their president, this was back in January, beginning of this year, signed the expropriation bill. So the government can confiscate farms without compensation if they can make the case that it's best for public interest. And the law doesn't specifically isn't only for farms. It actually can mean anything, any property really at all, which is wild that this is even happening because there's so many, there's an overabundance of natural resources on that continent and in South Africa. But we have, I mean, you have an ungodly amount of government corruption, violence, tribalism, and it is now a failed state. I don't know how else you can say it. I mean, it's, I mean, they like talk about their power grid. I mean, there's a lot we could discuss here, but they've had, like, for instance, in South Africa, they've been having like power. They've been having power interruptions since last year, and they have literally an actual racist government. This is a piece. This is from a couple of years ago. They have their Minister of Water and Sanitation. This is from South African media. Back in 2023 in May, they revised their guidelines. And they basically decided that they were going to, how do I put it, administer water. I mean, their water and sanitation services literally like based on your race. Like, seriously, race and gender. And if you're particularly the wrong skin color, they tell you that. Like, for instance, application for mining. This is from page 92. Applications for mining related industries, 100% black owned, are exempt to comply with these regulations, etc. So they were squeezing people based on race. And this is just one of the things that these farmers have had to deal with. They have race quotas. They've been banning entire people based on, you know, race from hiring, from certain, just entire sectors, certain sectors. They've also implemented race quotas that are involved, that are every aspect of life down to water, sanitation, you know, trash, all of that. All of that is determined literally on the base of skin color. They introduced race quotas. Their Minister of Water, Senzo Mchunu, May of 2023, introduced race quotas for the allocation of water use licenses. And they said that an ANC, that's their governing party, they said that under their new water race quotas, applicants that use more than the certain particular amount or withdraw more than a set minimum amount from streams must meet strict racial quotas in order to access water. And it's not depending on livestock or agriculture or whatever industry. It's literally about race and how many people that work with you on your land. What race are they? And they said farmers or companies that have not allocated between 25% to 75% of its shares to black citizens will be denied access, all access to water. And that's insane. That is absolutely devastating. I mean, there's been constant violence. Some of the stories that have come out of South Africa, if you are unfamiliar, are so gruesome and so barbaric. It's insane. Children are murdered in front of their parents. Women are raped in front of their spouses before they are brutally killed. I mean, they have electrical blackouts that are a regular everyday thing. There have been stories about their power grid. I mean, good grief, even electricity is meted out based on race. 80 murders every 24 hours. This is actually from their official government crime statistics. 80 murders every 24 hours, 120 women raped every 24 hours, 245 children murdered monthly, 11 women murdered every 24 hours. Murder rates are absolutely through the roof. And the African National Congress, they don't want to do anything. They just go to these conferences and act like they're doing all, you know, God's work in South Africa, and they're not. Their economy is a sewer. Their trade balance is just, I don't think it can get any lower. Oh my gosh, they can't even, like I said, keep the lights on. Their retail industry, they don't have any anymore. They have no consumer spending power. It is one of the most unsustainable things I've ever seen. And the blame goes down to, they try to make all the blame exactly down on racial divide. It is one of the craziest things ever. They would have their race quotas. The first race quotas that they implemented, this was back in June of 2023, were designed to ban entire groups from employment. And when I say groups, I mean white South Africans. The ANC government also, they established those race quotas that determine the water, as we talked about. It is one of the craziest things. CNN says it doesn't exist. Would you like to hear their leader sing about murdering white people, white farmers, the kill the Boer? Because that's what all that means. There's been, you know, there's a history there. There's a history of violence there, but they've decided to lean into it. I think I threw that in Slack this morning. But it is, it's one of the craziest things ever. I mean, just like in the past year, they were singing this song at official government events. Kill the white farmer. That's like an actual thing that was, so now you can see why. And by the way, Kane, how many refugees literally came in just the other day? Like not even 60.
Yeah, like 50-something.
Okay, so, and I'm going to talk more about this. When they came into the United States, they were all waving American flags and they were like crying. They were so happy to come to the United States compared to, I mean, hell, you'll have people third generation Mexican in the United States acting like the border stepped on me. Shut the hell up, you entitled. Ooh. Yeah, these people were happy to be here.
The left would rather thousands of unvetted come in at once, but dare vet 50 or less.
Yeah, and to your point, they were vetted. These people were vetted.
Thank you.
And they are legitimately fleeing for their lives. I mean, it's crazy. This is like, let's play three real quick, and then we'll play four coming up. This is the first group. I mean, like tens of them. That was it. Tens of them. That was it. They're so excited to come to the United States. Democrats hate them because they're white. Listen to this. Audio Sunday three. First group. They're so looking. They got American flags. They came in the right way. They actually are legitimately fleeing murder. Because the people over there taking their land, they don't care if they got kids. Those kids will be raped and killed. Doesn't matter the age. The horror stories. There are missionaries over there that have been trying to, golly, they are even having a hard time. The stories that have been coming out from whether it's missionaries, whether it's, you know, the farmers themselves, whether it's staggering. And so Democrats are seething mad about this. They're livid. They finally met refugees they don't like. They want to throw a blanket over the Statue of Liberty. Gold Co. is making it easy to take that first step toward protecting your savings. Just fill out a quick form, no commitment, just free information. And then they'll ship you your free 2025 gold and silver kit straight to your door. No shipping fees, no strings, just a free info kit to help you understand how gold and silver can fit into your financial plan. I'm a big believer in doing your research, and this kit is a great place to start. So I'm really excited to be partnering with Gold Co. because not only do they support my show, which I truly appreciate, but they've made the whole process of buying precious metals super straightforward. Because if you're a fan of the show, Gold Co. is also going to tell you how to qualify for unlimited free bonus silver on eligible orders. If you qualify, you can even get a free half-ounce silver Ronald Reagan coin, totally free. Don't wait. Take that first step towards protecting and diversifying your savings with Gold Co. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
You know, like I said, going forward, I've realized now that I see some of this coming back at me, that I should probably tone it down. So I've backed off a lot of media.
It's a Pope brother.
And I don't see myself really getting too much involved in that, at least and especially until I've had a chance to actually talk with my brother and see what his...
I mean, if you're the Pope's brother, do you get an invite to the Vatican and do you get to go see like the rare rooms and all that kind of stuff? I'm just curious. I'd be totally taking advantage of that. Be like, sup, bro? I want to go look at those tapestries without a bunch of sweaty people standing shoulder to shoulder with me. Can you make that happen? You know, I'd be asking for stuff like that. Right. Like, you know, can I just like chill out in the Sistine Chapel before it reopens to the public or opens to the public for the day? I'd be asking for those type of favors, you know, little things. But he apparently was real saucy on social media and the media was going, oh, what? They don't quite understand that siblings don't share the same brain. It's a scientific achievement that our legacy press hasn't fully realized yet. And I just think it's funny. I also think you're the Pope's brother. Can't he just be like, I think I'm good, right? Like, I don't need your judgment. I think I'm good. Yeah. I don't know. That's what I would. Because, like, you know how we got to get out of jail free card with FCC? I would think, you know, if your brother's the Pope, you know? Yeah, you could just like I don't care if you're Catholic or not. I totally would be using that. If I was the sibling of the Pope, totally.
It's like a get out of hell.
Right? I know. I'm just saying. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We have coming up in our second hour, we're going to have Senator Rand Paul is going to be joining us a little bit later. We're also going to talk about how a bunch of blockheaded Republicans are trying to screw you over on your Second Amendment rights. With some bills that you may not be aware of. We're going to discuss all of that and more. Stick with us. Second hour on the way. I've seen the amazing changes Relief Factor has made for so many people, and I've seen it firsthand through my husband Chris's pain relief from using Relief Factor. Right now, it's easy to give their product a try because Relief Factor makes it pain-free with their three-week quick start for just $19.95. Get rid of pain and start living better. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, it works by supporting your body's response to inflammation. It doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. It's safe to take daily, and in fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective. Whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, Relief Factor can help. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Give Relief Factor a try. With their pain-free trial, you can get a three-week quick start for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Get rid of pain and start living better. Give Relief Factor a try. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or visit ReliefFactor.com.
Years, far too many American presidents have been afflicted with the notion that it's our job to look into the souls of foreign leaders and use U.S. policy to dispense justice for their sins. They loved using our very powerful military, and now it's really the most powerful it's ever been. We just are getting a budget approved, $1 trillion, highest budget we've ever had in history for military, $1 trillion.
That's a good line. And, that was a very good line from Curtis just missiles. Then. Welcome back to the program. It's the Saudi U.S. Investment Forum. POTUS just wrapped up a little bit ago his speech. Can we play just some of that video, although we may have to strip the sound out later for digital, because they played YMCA. Even though it's fair use, the fascists that are on the sewer that's called YouTube, they object. It was funny because he had MBS, you know, the crown prince and de facto prime minister, Mohammed bin Salman, who's up on stage with him, and they're playing YMCA. And I was thinking about this. I'm like, there have to be people, you know, in the audience, like, you know, Middle Eastern businessmen and other Saudis that are in the audience. Like, why are they playing the YMCA song? Like, they have to be wondering. It cracks me up. It always cracks me up when you have these cultural touch points that don't exactly hit in other countries, but I thought it was hysterical. They were on stage together after Trump finished his speech, and they started the YMCA song. You can hear it a little bit. And then MBS is like, yes, yes. And then he's like, okay, I'm done. But it was great. They get along very well. So welcome back. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour. Just a couple of other things. Situations like this are where Trump shines. Now, people will say, oh, but Trump's such a jackass. Oh, my. When you are dealing with a male-dominated event and you are in a very patriarchal society, he can blow in and he can run the room. He's very good at that. And I like seeing that kind of stuff. I like seeing that. I thought that America was very well represented. This afternoon. I don't care if you're mad about Trump with this or that or that EO. I don't like the Qatari jet either. I thought, nope. This was good. And I still go back to that soundbite that he had where we played it already, but where he said, you know, talked about the Abraham Accords and said, you know, I look forward to you joining this, you know, in your own time. But he reemphasized right there in front of everybody in that room that that was an expectation of the United States. And that was a power move. And I appreciated that. And I also like the welcome that he received, because it was a giant middle finger to the previous administration that was trying to chuck Saudi Arabia to the side and elevate, you know, the geopolitical foe Iran, which, you know, finances the killing of Americans, American soldiers, you know, all of this stuff. one other quick point as it relates to Saudi Arabia, because a lot of people are like, oh, you know, the last time, you know, they go back, and I get it, they go back to 9/11. There are also different factions in different world governments as there are in the United States. And people really need people to be able to understand this nuance, especially as we navigate this brave new world, right? So I thought this was a good trip for the president of the United States. In the meantime, Democrats, they, it was like that Mean Girls scene, Kane. I can't play it. You can. The refugees, like 50-something of them that came in from South Africa, and Democrats, I think, thought, ooh, African refugees, and then they saw they were white.
England, so if you're from Africa, why are you white?
Yeah, it was like Karen from Mean Girls. If you're from Africa, why are you white? Because now they're very upset, including, including, did you hear about this church, this Episcopal church? They shut down their ministries, their quote unquote migration ministries, because Trump took some white South African refugees in. And they have, who is this? Their Episcopal bishop. I'm going to tread into some very probably not commonly held opinions here. I don't want a woman as my church leader. The fastest way you're going to run me out of that pew is if you put a broad up on stage who I take Paul's words very, very seriously. I don't want to hear from a woman. I don't want to hear from a young preacher either. You better be old and have lived in order for me to be able to take you seriously, or have something seriously happen in your life that your calling is evident to all before you. So I have a major problem with this woman calling herself a bishop. Your girl is old school. I am more old school than anybody else that you're going to come across on air. I don't want to see a female bishop. I don't believe in it. Just like I don't believe that Palestine is a real thing or a real ethnicity. Just like I don't believe in the term assault weapon. Just like I don't think that men can, you know, put some tape between their nether regions and stuff a bra and call themselves women. I don't believe in female bishops, female preachers, female pastors. I don't believe in any of that stuff because it's anti-biblical. If you have a problem with it, your problem is with God, not with me. And you can take it up with him and he can evaluate whether or not he thinks that's a logical stance for you to have. So this one woman, she was very upset. The reason I bring her up, Marion Edgar, is it, how do you say her last name? B-U-D-D-E, buddy?
I think so.
Beauty? Who knows? She's the Episcopal bishop, and she had this big illegal immigration stance, and, you know, she likes all the letters and all, you know, doesn't matter if you come in legally or not. And she's given some pretty, remember the speech that she gave where she was trying to slam the administration and everybody who voted for him, who were supportive of deporting people who were here illegally? And she was saying, oh, God teaches us that we're to be merciful to the stranger because, you know, mercy and the facilitation of criminality are the exact same thing, apparently. So the she is upset because now these refugees from South Africa are being allowed into the United States. And what happened to the mercy for the stranger, by the way?
Yeah.
So the Episcopalians, they ended a nearly four decades old relationship. This comes from, sorry, this is Religion News, because they're very upset over the white Afrikaners. They said, in light of our church's steadfast commitment to racial justice, and this is where that Bishop Buddy is from, in light of our church's steadfast commitment to racial justice and reconciliation, and our historic ties to the Anglican Church of Southern Africa, we're not able to take this step. That's what their presiding bishop said in the letter. And they are upset by this. They said that it is, and it's the Sean Rowe, presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church. They said that they are expected to resettle white Afrikaners from South Africa, whom the U.S. government classified as refugees. They don't believe that they're refugees, and they are against it. So they said that they're going to stop their Episcopal migration ministries because they are expected to take in white Afrikaners, people who are actual victims of literal genocidal persecution. And they're helping to whitewash the ANC's crimes, apparently. But what happened to the mercy for the immigrant, Kane? Oh, the mercy for the refugee. What happened to all of that?
I can play a little bit of what she was saying if you want to hear that back in January when she was...
Oh, please do. Please do.
And the people. The people who pick our crops.
Jeez,
and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation. Mm. But the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals.
Oh, man.
They pay taxes.
Oh, except if you're a white neighbors. South Africaner.
Yep, that's different.
And unless you're that.
Yeah,
the Episcopal Church, you're a joke.
You're an absolute joke.
You're the reason why people hate organized religion, and it proves that even the devil can quote scripture. Get behind me, Satan.
And if you have the threat of being A, white, and B, potentially voting conservative, the left will not want you.
Of course. This is a problem. You know, do you want to know why people have been leaving the church in droves? Because of ungodly, heathenistic, attempted ministries like the one I'm talking about right here. We're going to put up some old white crone, and then she's going to sit here and try to lecture everyone and try to play a game of guilt over everyone. Oh, you have to accept every form of criminality that the Democrats endorse. Basically, she's trying to shroud her partisan political zealotry in religion. That's what they're doing right now. Oh, wait a minute. Now we have refugees that are white? What? And now it's a big issue for them, proving that it was never about the refugee. You know, they're no better than the Pharisees who roll around in ash and then parade around in public. Oh, look at me. I'm so penitent. Look at me. Oh, I've taken a vow of poverty. Oh, make sure you glorify me and my theatrical performative actions and not God, whom it's supposed to actually honor. I mean, they literally go against everything that the Gospels talk about. But okay. All right. So... This is one of the big reasons why a lot of people, by the way, have such a problem with organized religion. Now, you're supposed to, I don't mean for this to be a religious sermon, because again, I do not rise to the mantle of shepherd, and nor do I claim it, nor do I seek it. But my observation is that people see the double standard, and yet you are also simultaneously called to fellowship. You're supposed to be part of a body. I mean, my gosh, just read Paul's writings. I mean, the Gospels are quite clear. But it's very difficult when you have performative charlatans like what we're seeing here coming out of the Episcopal Church with these missives. Oh, no, we can't take part in this ministry anymore because now it's white South Africaners. What makes them less than? Why is it that they are not allowed, but you guys will fall all over and wash the feet of a woman-beating, human-trafficking, MS-13 gangbanger? Oh, because they play on skin color. If ever you wanted an actual example of racism, which is an immoral position, because that's never really something that's used divisively. In fact, you're extorted to move against that throughout the Bible. But if you want a real example of racism, then look at what these so-called shepherds are doing. Oh, no, we can't help them because of their skin color. Meanwhile, we're going to exalt you because of your skin color, things over which you cannot control. It's the modern day Klan. Pretty amazing, is it not? And they have the audacity to call themselves bishops and shepherds and drape themselves with vestments and pretend to offer the bread and the wine and pretend that they're reading from scripture when really they're just spitting poison. Maybe the part of the Bible that they missed was what happens to shepherds who mislead their flock and how they are yoked with a stone so heavy and thrown into the deepest part of the sea. Now, I know I shouldn't practice nor engage in the schadenfreude of such an action, but I dare say that I don't even know if that would convey the lesson that they need to learn, such as their evil. We have a lot more coming up Your body is a powerhouse. It heals, it builds, it keeps you moving. But as you age, those natural processes slow down. And that's where Ancient Nutrition's collagen comes in. It's like backup power for your body. It helps you stay strong, radiant, and ready for anything. Ancient Nutrition blends ancient wisdom with modern science to create high-quality supplements. And their multi-collagen advanced lean features 10 types of collagen from real food-based sources. It's powered by clinically studied ingredients that support fat loss, healthy weight management, and lean muscle building. You'll love it because it can reduce your joint discomfort, boost your skin, your hair, and nails, and plus, you'll love how it tastes and how easily it fits into your daily routine. Collagen is real and it works, and Ancient Nutrition's multi-collagen advanced lean has you covered. Look and feel your best starting today. Right now, Ancient Nutrition is offering you 25% off your first order. Just visit ancientnutrition.com/Dana, promo code Dana. That's ancientnutrition.com/Dana, code Dana for 25% off your first order.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so we got Man Bites Dog. I mean, that's literally a headline. Police say naked man bit a dog and fought officers at a Kansas gas station. He's in custody because he resisted arrest. He attacked police officers and his own dog during a violent struggle at a Lawrence gas station on Wednesday. They responded to the disturbance at the Casey's General Store. How are you going to do the dog like that? He had brought a dog inside with him. When the officers arrived, he was totally, you know, in his birthday suit. They tased him twice. He continued to resist. He bit his dog's ear and neck and refused to release his grip. I would have beat him to death with my baton. I would have made it last. I wouldn't have made it go quick with a firearm. I would have beat him to within an inch of his life with my baton, and then I would have tased him to the point where he couldn't stop drooling. That's me. The dog suffered minor injuries, and clearly I value the dog's life more than this guy's, and was transported to Lawrence Humane Society for evaluation and care. Please, someone adopt that sweet pup. Let's see here. Moving on, we got... Oh, wow. I don't want to do the... Let's do... Oh. Half of Tesla owners say their cars have been damaged intentionally. Stephen Yates, our friend Stephen Yates, his car was keyed. He drives a Tesla. And he came out and said, well, I guess I get to join the keyed club. And his Tesla had been keyed. This is MSN. They say half, like it's like a point away, of Tesla owners say that their cars have been damaged on purpose. So because I'm a very confrontational person when situation requires, Kane, I feel like I want to get a Tesla and just sit in it. And then if somebody tries to key my car, Katie bar the door, it's going to be like Darth Vader when he's like getting on that spaceship going after Leia. And it'll be like that.
Could be a fun way to kill time.
Killing time. Yes, that is correct, Kane. A Nebraska man is facing two felonies because he attacked. Oh, speaking of, you know, Vader, his neighbor and a 7-year-old with a lightsaber. Like, it's not a real one, right? It's because that's impossible.
I hope not.
They said it was a higher quality device. It was 3.5 feet made of metal and thick plastic. That's actually, I mean, don't do it. But I mean, that's, you know, a little bit better than a baseball bat, I guess. Stick with us because we've got some rhinoism afoot with 2A. GoldCo is making it easy to take that first step toward protecting your savings. Just fill out a quick form, no commitment, just free information. And then they'll ship you your free 2025 gold and silver kit straight to your door. No shipping fees, no strings, just a free info kit to help you understand how gold and silver can fit into your financial plan. I'm a big believer in doing your research, and this kit is a great place to start. So I'm really excited to be partnering with GoldCo because not only do they support my show, which I truly appreciate, but they've made the whole process of buying precious metals super straightforward. Because if you're a fan of the show, GoldCo is also going to tell you how to qualify for unlimited free bonus silver on eligible orders. If you qualify, you can even get a free half-ounce silver Ronald Reagan coin, totally free. Don't wait. Take that first step towards protecting and diversifying your savings with GoldCo. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
And welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this second hour, and we've covered a lot today. We need to look at some domestic stuff, including a sneaky little trick that some of these moderates, I suppose, in Congress are trying to pull over on you. Specifically, this is about the National Firearms Act and, of course, suppressors. Now, for those of you who maybe you're not that far into 2A or you don't own a suppressor, you think it doesn't affect you, it does, because this is just another example of, and I hate to say it, you got a lot of soft Republicans that are out there thinking we can just do the bare minimum, call it a victory, and then go ahead and ask for donations because we're going to pretend that we've done something for your constitutionally affirmed rights. And that's not the way it works. So right now, and I mentioned this yesterday, the House Ways and Means Committee, they have a draft, their reconciliation draft. And in it, they're trying to act like this is a big Second Amendment win. They're going to reduce the extortion, I mean, the tax that you would have to pay on your suppressor from $200 to just $5. But yet it's still going to remain classified as an NFA item, meaning you have to go and beg the government, please, may I have a suppressed shooting? May I please? And still get all that permission and they know what you have, et cetera, et cetera. And there are actually some Republicans that are going along with this and they're going to try to act like it's a huge victory. And I've been hearing a lot of chatter behind the scenes on this. So obviously this cannot stand, especially when, you know, we should have friendlier 2A legislation coming out of the House than this. Joining us right now is Knox Williams. He's the president and executive director of the American Suppressor Association, and we welcome him back. Knox, good to see you. So I just feel like this is such a lazy way to like a lazy toss to voters. Like, oh, well, we're going to reduce from $200 to $5. But the big issue is that it's still going to be classified under NFA, which that's not a win at all. But I mean, I've literally been hearing from some people in D.C. that they think that this is like a great victory.
Yeah. And Dana, thanks for having me on again. It's truly a pleasure to chat with you. And I agree. I think that it's just the members who are pushing this in the House don't understand where the gun community lands and where they're coming from. You know, it's 91 years that we've been taxed for our right to purchase suppressors. And at the end of the day, if we have an opportunity to do away with that tax entirely and get these things out of the NFA, the gun community wants our members of Congress to take that action, period, hard stop.
What is their argument for keeping it under the National Firearms Act? I don't understand their reluctance to move it off of that.
You know, honestly, that's a great question and one I can't fully answer for them. I can't comprehend it. And the draft that they put out, it has the reduction of the $200 transfer tax down to zero. So it seems to me to be a bit of a moot point, right? Like, yeah, if we're going to zero out the tax, why not just take the extra step to actually remove these things from the National Firearms Act? And the critical importance of that is because, again, this is a 91-year-old tax scheme that was set up in 1934. There is a federal registry called the NFRTR that exists solely as a record of taxes paid. And people don't want to have to deal with that. You know, you shouldn't have to submit fingerprint cards. You shouldn't have to submit passport photos. You shouldn't have to ask permission from the ATF to be able to purchase these items. And yet here we are, and that's where it would stand if they even zeroed this tax out. So I think that a lot of these members think that they are generating a win, but it just isn't the win that they think it is, at least not in the eyes of the 2A community.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And it just doesn't, I mean, because still that's the big issue. The big issue isn't, you know, the transfer tax. The big issue is, you know, the fact that it's still listed on this. I mean, and we've talked before, Knox, when you were on, I mean, when you go to, you know, any other country, if you're in Europe, if you're in, you know, South America, if you're wherever, and if you're not shooting suppressed, you know, you're kind of looked at like, oh, that's so trashy. Like, it's just, you know, bad form. Like, you're a bad guest. And but yet here they act like it just, it's, I don't know what they think it contributes to. The difference is startling to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're looking for the easiest path, right? And I understand that in the context of this reconciliation process, this is a very small component of the one big, beautiful bill that the president is trying to get to his desk. Certainly sympathetic to that, but gun owners shouldn't be the one taking it on the chin for the advancement of this package. And I also just really question whether or not they're doing the math right. You know, look, if you're going to bake this down to, you know, what's in the best interest of the least conservative member of a committee, I don't think that's the way to run this. I think that you've got to look at holistically what impact this is going to have. And I just don't see, you know, the hardliners on our side being willing to take this as a measure to get them to vote for other components of the reconciliation package that leadership is going to need them to vote for.
Yeah, we're talking, for those listening around the country and not watching the simulcast, we're talking with Knox Williams, who's the president and executive director of the American Suppressor Association. And I've tried, Knox, I've tried thinking, okay, well, what are the arguments that the left could make, or that, you know, anti-Second Amendment advocates could make against these lawmakers removing, you know, suppressors from being classified as NFA items? And I just don't think that there's like a good enough soundbite that they couldn't overcome unless they're that horrific at messaging.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the weird part, right? Like, it's not a win for the 2A community, but you're still going to take all the flack from the anti-gunners, right? It's kind of a lose-lose situation. And I really genuinely think they don't see it that way, but it's really, it shows the disconnect between those members and the Second Amendment community.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on this. Is this likely, do you think that there's going to be pushback against some of these more moderate members of the committee and or in the House to maybe like reconsider and remove this? I know, because, you know, obviously the Hearing Protection Act is something that we, you know, very much support, and you've been doing a great job advocating for that. But, and the reason I ask the question that way is because I feel like if we miss our opportunity here with this, I don't know when that's going to come back around again.
Yeah, I agree completely. Look, I've been working at this since 2011. We wrote the Hearing Protection Act, or helped write it, in 2015. So it's been a decade of advocating to remove suppressors from the National Firearms Act. This is only the second time in that entire tenure,
wow,
where we have a legitimate shot at getting this done. These opportunities don't come around very often. And, you know, look, I think that we've got to be able to seize on the moment. I think that is really at the core of why the Second Amendment community is so frustrated, because when these opportunities do arise, if we get soft on the issue, it's kind of like, why are we even participating?
Yeah.
And I think that's a message that the gun world is sending loud and clear to House Ways and Means and to Congress. I mean, I think that we all need to stand united in that front.
And when I look at some of the sound bites that these people, or not sound bites, but rather quotes that they've given, whether it's, you know, they're walking back to the, you know, the Hart building or wherever, and, you know, they give little quotes to reporters outside. I honestly don't even think any of them have ever shot the press before with the way that they talk about it. And I feel like if you're going to sit here and legislate about firearms, maybe you should, you know, kind of halfway know what you're talking about. And we joke about football. Like, I know nothing about football. I live in like a football crazy house, and I'm the only person that does not know about football. It's like me joining, you know, the NFL and being able to make regulations pertaining to the field. You know, you would never have me do that. So like, why would you have these lawmakers do this about a constitutionally affirmed right?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. And that's something that we love to do, is take lawmakers out to the shooting range and expose them to what suppressed gunshots actually can and right, more importantly, cannot do.
Yeah.
Because there is a massive disconnect there.
Yeah, they act like a bunch of gangbangers are running around the streets, and it's just all like silent, like pew pew, like that. It's not like that at all. Last quick question for you. And I don't want you to jeopardize any negotiations or positions that you have with these, or wherever you're at with these other lawmakers and persuading them to see the light of liberty. But is there anybody that's just proven immovable that, you know, maybe could deserve a little bit of heat?
Yeah, I mean, there certainly are. I don't want to blow up negotiations at this point, but what I can say is visit hearingprotectionact.com. It's a landing page that we have where you can put in your information and send an email to your elected official. That certainly helps. Call the House Ways and Means Committee as well. Those guys need to know and understand, hey, we want to see Section 2 of the Hearing Protection Act, which removes suppressors from the NFA, included in the reconciliation process. The more heat we can dial up, again, do it in a positive way. Don't come out attacking these folks, but just say, hey, look, I'm a constituent and I care.
Yeah.
Do it polite, but do it firm.
I would think that this would be a huge talking point too for the administration, and it might, you know, be like a good make good for a lot of the stuff that people saw with bump stocks until the courts got involved. You know, I think that would go a long way in kind of like normalizing those relationships with that community that got fractured during all of that. So hopefully, I mean, fingers crossed, but I agree with you. People need to be blowing up the phones, rhetorically speaking, to the House Ways and Means Committee members as well. Knox Williams, we'd love to have you back. Please keep us updated as to all of this, and we're going to watch as well, but we'll probably be reaching back out to you here shortly with as this thing progresses. Good to see you.
That sounds great. Dana, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. That's Knox Williams. He's the president, executive director of the American Suppressor Association. That Hearing Protection Act is just smart legislation. And I'm floored that there are lawmakers, and I'm trying to remember the name of them. I saved this piece because I'm doing an overall piece on this for Substack over a Chapter and Verse, but someone's like, oh, we can't just have people out there. The way that they said it was something like unaccountable, like shootings unaccountable. It's like you, they're not, it's not silent. It just reduces the decibel level. They did studies on it. The decibel level is like the same as the level coming from giant monitors at like a rock concert. If you've ever been to a concert and you've been anywhere near the giant monitors, you know, your ears ring afterwards. So it doesn't, you know, Hollywood is fiction, and it made it very fictional the way that suppressors worked. And it's just, it's weird. I had a friend who has gone bird hunting all over the world, and he loves to joke that the first time that he ever was invited to go overseas to go bird hunting, he was not shooting suppressed. And when they were doing a whole bunch of stuff, and people thought it was like bad manners, it's just thought of as like very gauche, like very bad manners, like, oh, you're, you don't shoot suppressed, because over there that's like the norm. And because people aren't idiotic, they realize that it still makes a quite a loud sound. But a lot of the anti-gun advocates, particularly those that come from high crime areas, like you hear this a lot from Chicago, authorities in Chicago or elected officials there, they would say, oh, you know, shooting suppressed, you know, you can't have, like, they would have a bunch of shootings that they couldn't hear, and they wouldn't be able to stop their car. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. And so for these lawmakers to say, oh, we're just going to either reduce the tax transfer or the transfer tax, or we're going to do it, do away with it, that's a pyrrhic victory. I mean, barely even that. I mean, you're it's still an NFA item. You still have to beg the government for permission. It's, they still have a receipt of exactly what you have, when you got it, etc. I mean, that's a de facto registry. And I think by allowing it to remain on that list, you're essentially making it easier for the establishment of any such registry in the future. So these lawmakers need to get on the same page with liberty-minded Americans. We have a lot more on the way. We got Senator Rand Paul is going to be joining us later. And of course, you know, the problem with the refugees coming in from South Africa, we have this, and we also have the latest Democrat fallout. Apparently, everybody's coming out with books galore. Like, apparently, Biden didn't recognize George Clooney per Axios at a June 2024 fundraiser, and they knew each other for like 15 plus years, and apparently that's why George Clooney wrote the editorial that he did. I know. So we got a lot of stuff to discuss as well. With Super Beach, you guys are familiar with the heart chews. Super Barine, a lot of people are talking about healthy metabolism and supporting healthy blood sugar. And this is where Super Barine comes in. It's plant-based, doctor formulated. It has a unique form of berberine and Italian fruit extract that gives it an additional antioxidant, additional level of antioxidant cardiovascular support. And the berberine is unique. It's been clinically studied to deliver nearly 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine. It's highly concentrated, so you get all these benefits in just one easy to swallow capsule a day. And the grapeseed extract that's included in the Super Barine, that provides for greater tolerability if you're concerned about any potential GI distress. Visit Sam's Club and restock your heart health support with Super Beats Heart Chews, and expand your routine with new Super Barine for healthy metabolism and blood sugar support. Start today and get on the road to better cardiovascular health support.
Could Luigi Mangione's killing of the United Healthcare CEO lead to anarchy in America? Pastor Alan Jackson says yes.
But he shot this insurance executive. And I mean, there's this whole host of people trying to justify it.
Oh, absolutely.
Because their insurance got canceled. Therefore, it's okay to go assassinate some insurance worker. That is teetering on anarchy.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast, on your favorite podcast app.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So a Florida man, he got himself in trouble here. He broke in, it's Escambia County. He broke in to his ex-girlfriend's home through a doggy door. This is why we'll not have doggy doors. 26-year-old, how do you say his name? Kalen, C-A-E. You have too many vowels in your name, sir. Anyway, some dude. He broke into the home. Deputies were called for the report of a burglary. And then he climbed into his ex's bed. And they struggled. She hit him in the nose with her elbow. And then he left the same way he had come in, through the large dog door. He's been charged with burglary or assault with assault or battery. And I told Kane on break, I said, this is why I don't have a dog door. But if I did, maybe I would want like some AI facial recognition and I would have like two robotic arms that would automatically descend, maybe with like, I don't know, MP5s or something. And, you know, fully pointed at the dog door. So if it's not my dog, both of them.
How did it happen?
Like a snare. Since, you know, I'm not going to beg the government for NFA stuff. So, yeah, it'd be like that. I'd have enough to where it would just be like that.
Also, if you're fitting through a doggy door, you're a small dude.
They said it was a large dog door. Well, I don't know what that still means, what the measurements on that are. You know, I'm not like Bob the Builder, but, you know. But, yeah, that's why I haven't wanted. Because criminals aren't necessarily, Kane, the healthiest or the smartest people.
That's true.
Yeah, it's, I know. True. So, that's a little bit. Let's see here. Okay, this blew my mind. I had a family member that took me to Disney World or Disneyland one time. I think I was at Disney World once for a work thing. But this Florida man, he says this is the average cost when he took his family. Florida man says that it was $1,400 for one day at Walt Disney World.
Oh, man.
What? I'm sorry, what? So let's break this down. Yeah, he said that it was like $1,400. Parking was $30. Tickets for his family to get into Hollywood Studios, and it's like a family of four, $974. Five tickets and parking, that's $1,000. And they even got the Florida resident discount, and they have one child under 10. Everything else, quick service meals in Disney Springs, any kind of snack or drink, water and ice cream was $30. He had a pretzel and a beer that was $20. They said it was over $44 for quick service pizza and a drink. They said that Star Wars Coke was like $7. I mean, just insane. And one of their restaurants for their dinner was like almost $300, ending at just under $1,400. And they said that they didn't even stay at one of the resort hotels. I love nothing that much to pay that kind of money, right? No way.
Freaking mortgage payment.
I mean, I don't know. And now, remember how Disney was like, oh, Florida, don't say gay? Well, they're building a resort in Abu Dhabi where you definitely can't say gay. Are they going to have like a ride featuring, you know, we're going to throw the gays to death because they're gay? I mean, I'm just curious how they're... So $1,400. My jaw hit the floor. There is no way I would pay that. I could be a patrillionaire and I will not pay that. That is insane. I've got to take a stand somewhere. That's crazy. So, where to start with this one? Well, we're almost out of time. I'll have to tell you about the Walmart worst robbery technique ever tomorrow. In the meantime, third hour is on the way, and we're going to have Senator Rand Paul join us. Stick with us. With All Family Pharmacy, convenience is everything, and they make it so simple. It's fast shipping, no hassle, no gatekeepers. You can order from the comfort of home and let All Family Pharmacy deliver right to your door. So take control with up to a 1-year supply of essential medicines like blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes treatments. No insurance, not an issue. All Family Pharmacy has you covered. No more monthly refills, no more lines, no more surprise pharmacy trips, and everything is made right here in the US of A, so you can rest easy knowing that your medications meet high standards for quality and safety. Nothing's outsourced, just reliable American-made medicines. And they provide ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antibiotics, and so much more. The very medications, you know, that the system tried to keep from you. And you can even get your everyday maintenance meds too. They make it simple. Fast shipping, no hassles, no gatekeepers. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana now and use code DANA10 for 10% off. Be prepared. Stay in control because they're not looking out for you. Allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, code DANA10.
The apartheid system ended and they reformed their constitution under the great leader of Nelson Mandela. And that allowed for a racial reconciliation, one that this country has yet to do. But South Africa did it.
Wow. I don't even know who this chick is that's saying this. Some CNN panelist who clearly does not understand the history of South Africa. I mean, wow, if you don't like it, then you can leave. And they did. That's the problem that the left has, is that they did. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this third hour. I mean, look at Zimbabwe. They were neighbors, and they took away farms, and the indigenous people there could not maintain the farms. They could not handle the agriculture, the land management, the livestock, none of it. And their agricultural output entirely, totally collapsed. And then they ended up having to deal with famine. And then they were trying to lure people back to manage these farms unsuccessfully. The problem is that in South Africa, they're literally hunting down. I've met South African farmers. In fact, one of the last work trips I was on, a couple that was from South Africa, and they still have family there. So they were like not doing any press, but they actually had to go and seek refugee status in a different nation. And the stories and the photos are amazing, amazingly horrible. You think, wow, because it was last year, and you think, wow, it's like 2024, now it's 25. It's crazy that this stuff happens and that, you know, people do this to themselves. But, you know, she thinks that there needs to be a racial reconciliation. Like, what does she think? What does that mean to her, a racial reconciliation? Because this is what we're talking about. Audio Soundbite 4, this was like a year ago, not even a year ago. And you have the Julius Malema. He's the head of the EFF political party over there, the Economic Freedom Fighters, screaming about killing the white farmer. Audio Soundbite 4, listen. He's changing programs.
Shoot to kill the mother. Kill the poor. The farmer. Kill the poor. The farmer. Brr, pa. Pa. Brr, pa. Pa.
Yeah, that is, it's literally derived from a word that means Boer. It's in Dutch and Afrikaans. So it means that's it, it, it. The Boer means farmer. So they're saying kill the farmer, kill the white farmer. He is literally the head of a major South African political party, and he's calling for wholesale genocide. And that's what they call settlers in South Africa, even if they're their second, third generations. They're called Boers. And it's the chant is kill the Boers. And they are farmers. Now, the whole, you know, one of the things that this talking head on CNN doesn't understand is that when they had the whole, when Nelson Mandela was negotiating power transfer, part of the reason why you had certain factions hand over power to other factions was under the promise that they were going to be, their lives, their property, and their rights were going to be protected. And that didn't happen. And they were trying to do what was considered as, unjust colonialism, now with more unjust colonialism. It's crazy. And everything that people say that Mandela's negotiations were trying to prevent, well, it's happening. So it didn't prevent anything. And then you have the New York Times a year ago. They were livid. So when this happened, what was this, a year ago that this happened? I think it may have been a year ago or 18 months ago. The New York Times had a story. It was about 18 months ago. The New York Times had a story when that soundbite first came out where they were livid that people were reacting to Julius Malema's call for like genocide. Literally, that's what it was. And they were trying to excuse it. I'm reading from this piece that was in August of 23, so almost 2 years. And they noted the rally from Julius Malema, and they said that the video clip that shot across the internet and was seized by Americans on the far right, who said it was a call to violence. Unless you're a geopolitical moron with no knowledge of what's happening and thus no authority or really room to speak on what's happening. I mean, you can observe history. That's what that phrase means. It's a genocidal phrase. Just like when you say from the river to the sea, when you're talking about Gazans, Jordanians who want to make up an ethnicity and call themselves Palestinians, which doesn't exist. That's also a call for genocide. When you say kill the Boer, that literally translates to you're killing the farmer. And they're going after these white farmers in South Africa. Anyone who argues otherwise isn't smart enough or knowledgeable enough about the issue to discuss it. And it is embarrassing, especially if you're a racial grifter like this woman was on CNN, who's trying to parlay her ethnicity into as a substitute for merit or education. And she's downplaying, you literally just heard and watched the video, downplaying that and acting like that didn't happen. Acting like the head of a major political party in South Africa wasn't in an arena leading thousands of people to scream, kill the white farmer. That's the problem with so many people in legacy press. You would be shocked at how stupid some of them are. I mean, some of the dumbest people I've ever had conversations with have been some of these individuals in green rooms. Not kidding. So one of the reasons why, you know, for instance, Elon Musk came to the United States is he wasn't going to be drafted into a military that was weaponized to actually maintain apartheid. And that's one of the that's one of the reasons that he ended up leaving. And it is as deeply racist to scream, you know, kill the Boer, like Malema was in that arena. So for people, and the New York Times was trying to say that it was, oh, it's a mostly peaceful call to genocide. That's what they were trying to argue. The New York Times literally was running cover for calls for genocide. You know, they probably would have done the same thing under Hitler. There's a proper appeal to Godwin's law if you ever want one. So, I don't know, and the EFF, if you're unfamiliar with them, they are a very far left, violent Marxist political entity. It's a cult. I don't even want to say it's a political entity. I think at some point you're so far left that it's just a cult. And they excuse violence as political activism. Who else does that? That sounds really familiar. Excusing violence as legitimate political activists. Oh, it's the Nazis that are chasing Jewish students on college campuses around the United States. Wow. I mean, all throughout history, that's what these far left people do. So people who say that this genocide isn't happening, it is. People who say that, you know, they're not calling for it, they're lying to you. And so going back, this is why Trump said, okay, if you're fleeing racial violence, this is why we and other nations, not just the United States, have, you know, refugee programs, asylee programs. Kane, you had mentioned the temporary protected status, the TPS program that was implemented, like here, and then to where we can validate the threat level. And it is, they're trying to argue that there's like no, play this, because this is the history writing that they're trying to implement to justify this is stunning. Go ahead and play this. This is MSNBC.
The descendants of the people who created the most diabolical system of white supremacy in human history, apartheid, they're not directly responsible for it, but it was a system that actually moved black people off of the arable land. So they inherited the land that the black people had to give up. It was called forced removal. It was something called a Bantustan policy, where they moved black people out of the cities and farmlands into these remote areas of with non-arable land. I mean, it was just one of the most worst processes ever. But what has happened in this strange, bizarre world we're living in is that the Afrikaners have become the darling of these right-wing white supremacist movements around the world. That it's like the lost cause for them. It's like the old Confederacy. They're held up as these
you're
white
talking
Christians
about. When did the English move in? Let's go back. Like what, the 17th century? I mean, you're talking about several hundred years ago that this happened. So are you discussing descendants? What do you mean descendants? Like descendants are the ones that are responsible for everything right now? I'm trying to. So he's justifying genocide.
Yeah.
That's what. So on MSNBC, they're selling commercial airtime on justifying genocide.
Yep.
This is amazing. When these people show you who they are, believe them. I mean, when he said descendants, after that, I couldn't take anything seriously. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Because it's like over 300 years ago at this point. And again, you're ignoring the negotiations that took place after Mandela and then how that was for, you know, the protection of land, property, etc. And then that was thrown out the window. A lot of these people, and look, I don't proclaim to be an expert. I know enough because I pay attention to world events, right? As any, you know, smart, aware person would. But you have these individuals who have been raised in the Tupperware fresh environment of stagnant academia, and they only believe what their Marxist instructors tell them. And so their Marxist instructors tell them this is the way of it. And they actually go and then they spit this sewage onto airwaves like this goofball did on MSNBC. I mean, good heavens, this guy, I don't even know who he is. I'm not, I don't know. I just, it just shocks me. And by the way, the South African president had already reiterated that talking about these specific farmers, they they don't deserve any kind of protection, refugee or otherwise, because they don't conform to the standards that he demands for such refugee protection. And he said that before. He in fact, there was a report where he had said he talked to Trump and told him that Trump had been provided with false information. This guy's a liar. I mean, they're thugs. The people who run South Africa are thugs, bottom line. And I mean, it's just the left will always excuse genocide if it's advantageous to them, not unlike what they did in the 30s. So Al Sharpton was slamming, of all people, the refugee status that POTUS was granting to white Africaners in the wake of that expropriation law, because they can just seize, not just farms, but any fixed property. They can seize any property. And Al Sharpton, and by the way, that act was signed in last year. Al Sharpton says that that it was mass deportation of the worst. He was saying that. He said, he was basically questioning whether or not they could be refugees, is what he was doing. They applied for asylum. People are missing that. They stayed in their country and applied for asylum. Remember how we were told that gangbangers coming in from Mexico, they had to come to the United States and then apply for asylum? Okay, so these refugees that came from South Africa, they did it the correct way. They applied for asylum and then they came in. 50 something of them, they were allowed in, a huge sizable number of them children. I just don't think that I'm going to take Al Sharpton seriously on anything, because Al Sharpton incited a riot that caused a fire and burned a man to death, because Al Sharpton was mad that the business owner was Jewish and that he wasn't just going to allow, he didn't even own the property. Someone else, it was a church that owned the property, and this guy was subleasing and he had to raise the rates, and it was just like a big deal. And he was targeted because he was Jewish, and Al Sharpton is an anti-Semitic bigot. Not only that, but sidebar, I was in, one of the times I was on Real Time with Bill Maher, who lied about me and never corrected it. Al Sharpton came in with a whole entourage. I've never seen he acted like he was James Brown, rolled in with this major entourage. Man, they were hoovering up everything in craft service. I was with a couple of friends and we were backstage. I hadn't gone on yet. It was very interesting. There you go. Your body is a powerhouse. It heals, it builds, it keeps you moving. But as you age, those natural processes slow down. And that's where Ancient Nutrition's collagen comes in. It's like backup power for your body. It helps you stay strong, radiant, and ready for anything. Ancient Nutrition blends ancient wisdom with modern science to create high-quality supplements. And their multi-collagen advanced lean features 10 types of collagen from real food-based sources. It's powered by clinically studied ingredients that support fat loss, healthy weight management, and lean muscle building. You'll love it because it can reduce your joint discomfort, boost your skin, your hair, and nails. And plus, you'll love how it tastes and how easily it fits into your daily routine. Collagen is real and it works. And Ancient Nutrition's multi-collagen advanced lean has you covered. Look and feel your best starting today. Right now, Ancient Nutrition is offering you 25% off your first order. Just visit ancientnutrition.com/Dana, promo code Dana. That's ancientnutrition.com/Dana, code Dana. For 25% off your first order.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Texas is facing a major housing market correction as prices drop across the state. This latest per Newsweek, they said that listings just hit 123,000 in April of this year, 53% higher the normal is what was being reported. They said that the state experienced a significant immigration boom or migration boom during the pandemic, with other residents from other states coming in with the promise of affordability. Then they met the property taxes. Then they met the Republicans in the state legislature in Austin that don't want to give anyone relief from property taxes at all whatsoever, but they do want to consider limiting your Second Amendment rights, depending on some of these bills that they're trying to push out of committee. A military vehicle went over the wall onto I-90 on the roadway below. This is kind of crazy. This is in Bellevue, Washington. Two people were injured when a military vehicle, looks like a Humvee, flew over the wall on Interstate 90. It's unclear what caused it to drift, but they had the lane shut down for quite some time. 56% of pet owners would cut their own life short to extend their pets. I love my pets. I'm not doing that. I love my dogs. You guys know I'm a big dog person. Nah, not doing it. No, I'm not gonna do it at all. Let's see. And the Southern accent, they're saying, is starting to go away. I don't think that that's going to happen. They said they've been studying it for the past 20 years, and the Atlantic accent went away in a way. Senator Rand Paul joins us next. Burn a gun. I always tell people to carry. I always carry, and I have no problem using lethal force to protect myself or my loved ones. And there are instances, though, where you can't. I mean, you're denied your constitutional right of self-defense, either because of municipal restrictions or private property restrictions. Well, there's a way that you can still protect yourself, and you diversify your weapons array. You do this already with knives and different calibers, so why not incorporate the Burn-A-Gun as part of it? Now, for this purpose, they have rifles and all kinds of stuff, but I would suggest the Byrna-SD or the Byrna-SL. The Byrna-CL compact launcher. It's like basically similar to a Glock 43X, right? It's about the length of your phone, thin. You have a red dot. There's, you know, quick on holstering, made in the USA. You have 15 rounds per cartridge. Now, you know, the Burner gun shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. It's effective, and it gives you some protection when the state or whatever is trying to disarm you. I have friends who live in New York and D.C. that carry this. And that's the thing. Burn a gun doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. There's no waiting period. There's no tax stamp. There's none of that stuff. They can ship it right to your door. And that's important when you're talking about making sure that you're protected, especially in high crime areas where you need protection the most. So check it out. The Byrna CL, their newest one, the compact launcher, the most compact one that they have, one of the smallest. It's for maximum concealability and stopping power. And it uses, you know, compressed air, CO2. And again, it shoots those chemical irritant projectiles. You need to check it out at Byrna.com/Dana. BYRNA.com/Dana. It's ready when you are.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. You can listen coast to coast on one of our hundreds of affiliates around the country. You can also watch the stream digital everywhere, Channel 347 DirecTV. So we've had a busy news day, and we also have to get to the big, beautiful bill. What is happening in Congress right now? What is happening in the House? What's happening in the Senate? Are our taxes going to be increased because government won't stop spending? That's the million-dollar question on this and other issues. Joining us right now, one of our favorite people in the Senate, Senator Rand Paul, who's one of the only lawmakers remaining who can do math. He joins us now via video. Senator, always a pleasure to have you, and I always appreciate your fiscal sanity. Where do we stand with this, by the way? Because I keep hearing discussions that the administration was floating tax hikes or that we were going to maybe cut less, but I do know that the debt ceiling is something being discussed, which you are staunchly against raising.
So the big, beautiful bill is comprised of tax cuts, the same tax cuts we passed in 2017. I've been supportive of those tax cuts, making them permanent. And then there's a few additions to it. They are adding into it no tax on tips, a deduction for overtime, and some deductions for seniors. There's a few wrinkles, but it's largely keeping the tax cuts. I'm in favor of that. There are some spending cuts. We don't know exactly what they're going to be yet coming out of the House. I predict they will be wimpy. I predict that they will be insufficient and that the deficit will continue to burgeon. The reason I predict this is that the third aspect of the bill is they're going to increase the debt ceiling. Now, the House has voted to increase it by $4 trillion. The Senate previously, against my wishes, voted to increase it by $5 trillion. I think no matter what kind of supposed spending cuts you're coming up with, if you're going to actually raise the debt ceiling $4 or $5 trillion, that's not a fiscally responsible position, and I can't support it. So I've told them I can't vote for the bill if it expands the debt by trillions of dollars, but I could if they were to separate the issues. Whether or not that will come to fruition, we'll see. If they get a quick agreement and they're done in a month, probably it all stays together. If the negotiations break down and it takes longer than a month or two to pass this, then I think there's a possibility the debt ceiling gets stripped out and done more urgently. And then the bill would go forward, but without the debt ceiling on it. I frankly think that we can't keep expanding the deficit each year by more than $2 trillion. That's just not fiscally conservative. And many of our supporters who have seen Elon Musk and the work of Doge and are enthusiastic as to the cuts are like, where are the cuts if the deficit's still $2 trillion? And that is a question that everybody's going to be asking. And the answer is that Congress doesn't have the sufficient wherewithal to actually cut spending.
And that's what's so incredibly disappointing in this. I know that some of the recommended cuts from Doge are caught up in litigation, and I know that that's, you know, that's something that lawmakers have to wait on. But, you know, the recommended cuts that are not, that seems like an easy fix that, you know, Congress could come together, codify that, get it done, and then talk about reducing spending more. And then if they want to have the discussion about the debt ceiling, they can have it.
Well, the only Doge cuts that are really caught in litigation are whether or not the administration can do it without congressional authority. So if they're sent back to us and we were to give them authority, there would be no legal case for virtually all of the cuts. The people are suing because they maintain the president can't do this without congressional authority. Some of that is an open debate. But with regard to where we move, if we move forward, they can send some of the spending cuts that Doge has found back through a process called rescission. And rescission is a special legislative vehicle. It's a simple majority required. It's a privileged vote. And we have enough Republicans in both House. In both the House and the Senate. The rumors are they have a $9 billion one. Now, while I'm for that, $9 billion is a pittance. It's a rounding error. If the deficit next year is going to be $2.2 trillion, that means if you cut $9 billion, it's $2.191 trillion. So it really is not much of a cut. So I think we need to do more, but the fact that they're hung up and don't think they can get the vote for $9 billion is pathetic. That means that we don't have enough Republicans who will cut sex change surgeries in Guatemala, trans comic book in Peru, trans opera in Colombia, you name it. All the crazy stuff that Doge has found, we don't have a majority of Republicans who will vote for that. That to me is such a disappointment that I'm going to keep agitating and saying, send us the $9 billion because I want to know who the Republicans are that can't vote to cut $9 billion. Because if you can't vote to cut $9 billion, you might as well switch parties, quit, or let us elect a real Republican who will cut spending.
Well, and that's kind of the thing we've been hearing, that, oh, well, we couldn't do it earlier this after the first of the year. We have to wait. And now we're told that, well, this may drag out till September. And it seems like this can keeps getting kicked further and further down the road. And then before we know it, we're going to be in midterms and we're going to be told, no, we can't wait because we've got midterms coming up. So we're going to have to wait after that. That's what they told us last midterms too, Senator.
It's also part of the argument for why they want to increase the debt ceiling $4 to $5 trillion is they're saying, oh, we want to get beyond the next election so the voters won't hear us having to talk about it or vote about it. I have the opposite approach. I offered an amendment when this bill came up a week or two ago in the Senate to give them 3 months of debt ceiling increase. You know how much that is? In 3 months, you've got to give them $500 billion. Even that hurt me. But I could only convince two other colleagues, if the vote was 3-97, not to increase it by 3 months. The reason I would do it 3 months at a time is, if you're promising me, and these are the powers that be, the leadership are all promising me, we're going to cut spending, we're going to bring in those Doge cuts, I'll believe it when I see it. So here's 3 months worth of borrowing. Show me what you got over the next 3 months.
Yeah.
And I predict in 3 months we'd see nothing and no response and no cuts. And then I would never give them another dime. Instead, we're doing the opposite. And conservatives, many who have traditionally been conservatives, are going along with this $4 trillion increase. I think it's shameful, and it removes the moral ground from any conservatives who want to say, I oppose the spending, I oppose the debt. Once they get on board voting for this debt ceiling, I don't know. I think our moral ground is lost as deficit crusaders.
I think that you hit the nail on the head. This reminds me very much of like 08, 09, the early Tea Party days, when that was kind of the same argument that we were hearing from the Republican establishment, that we have to, you know, this is too big to fail. We got to go along to get along. And now it's like, you know, to be quite frank about it, now you have some of that Bush League Republicanism that's reemerging in the party, and it's calling itself populism. It doesn't make any sense. We're talking to Senator Rand Paul about the budget and the big, beautiful bill. You had also, I know that you were talking about the Federal Reserve, Senator, operating at a loss, and you were talking about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau must go. I was surprised that you were getting pushback on this.
Yeah, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was a baby of the left, a baby of Elizabeth Warren and the far left. They got it passed, and they wanted to make it permanent so nobody could ever cut it, even if Republicans ever got in charge. So they said Congress won't fund it. It will be funded by profit from the Federal Reserve. Well, I think that's unconstitutional. You can't create an agency that's perpetually funded with no more voting. That went to the Supreme Court, though, and we lost. The Supreme Court ruled that they can fund it that way. The Supreme Court did rule that Trump could fire the person in charge of it. The legislation said even a president could not fire the head. Trump won that in the first term. But the interesting thing now is, for the last 3 years, the Federal Reserve, even the way they've always measured it, doesn't make a profit. They print their own money and they can't make a profit. So they're running a negative balance right now. So really, the CFPB should get no money. So I've written a letter to the president and to the OMB saying, why don't you just no longer fund it or request any money? Now, they've gotten to where they're not requesting money and they're reforming it. But I would just shutter the doors the same way they did USAID. I would close the doors of CFPB and say there's no more money because the Fed's not running a profit. And I think they could get rid of the agency completely. This is one where the law is actually on their side. And I think they would win in court that by orders of the Congress, it is not to be funded unless there's a profit to come from the Fed.
And that makes all the sense in the world. Talking with Senator Rand Paul, the trade deals we keep hearing, I know that a couple have been coming in. We've got the UK trade deal. There's been the reduction in tariffs with China. I had always questioned the sequencing of this. Like, how are we doing tariffs ahead of tax cuts? But here we are. We're in this position. Are you optimistic now, seeing some of the stuff with China and seeing maybe the UK trade deal? I know that that's kind of been up for debate as to whose consumers, British or Americans, it benefits more. But are we going to, because there's like 70 of them that need to be made in order, to get us into good footing. Are you confident? Do you think that these are going at a good pace?
I think the fundamental argument of whether trade is good or bad needs to occur again, because people have lost this knowledge. Trade is nothing more than an extension of capitalism. Trade is if you go to your local Walmart or you go to a local restaurant, that is trade. And if your local Walmart buys their goods from overseas, that's also trade between individuals. But no trade occurs that is not mutually beneficial. You will not give your money to McDonald's unless you want that burger more than you want your money. You will not give your money to Walmart unless you want whatever you're purchasing more than you want your money. All trade is mutually beneficial, and we have all gotten richer. But it is an integral part of capitalism. Trade is, there isn't something unique about, trade came, it's not in my county any longer, but I still trade with people in the rest of my state. I trade with people in Ohio. Just because there are borders and national borders doesn't somehow change trade. Trade is beneficial, and what has happened is the division of labor has spread worldwide, and we're all the richer for it. So that being said, if we erect trade barriers, it will affect prosperity. Right now, that if they can get reciprocal arrangements that lower trade barriers, that's good. Every time something has happened that is lessening the expectation of high tariffs, the market responds. When he announced Liberation Day, the market went down $6.6 trillion in 2 days. It's largely come back each time the number for the deficit has been lowered. So the lower the tariff, the less draconian, the more the marketplace is willing to tolerate it. But the marketplace is millions of people. It's not just me saying tariffs are bad. This is millions of people around the world all trading saying tariffs aren't good for the economy, trade barriers aren't good for the economy, and aren't good for the consumer. So I think that debate's worth having. I've been part of that debate because I want our country to continue to thrive. And I think if we erect barriers, taxation barriers, it's not a good thing. I'm also an old-fashioned conservative. I think you lower taxes to help business. Right. You don't raise taxes. Somehow conservatives say, raising taxes for imports is a good idea, but we want to lower all other taxes. No, why don't we, if we want to compete with China, let's say China makes 4 antibiotics that aren't made anywhere else and we're stuck with their supply chain. Why don't we eliminate the corporate income tax for those particular antibiotics and see if somebody will make them? Let's say 10 years of no corporate income tax for a company that will begin to make these things again. I think you would get people into that space, but it also needs to be a long-term goal. It can't be a tariff that's up and down and all over the place over weeks. People are going to build a factory or begin manufacturing something, want some certainty. So since none of these tariffs are laws, they're all directed by the president at his discretion, I'm not sure there's enough certainty for someone to start a whole factory. Now, if it were a law or a 10-year reduction in the corporate income tax for certain industries, I think people might actually build an industry and be have a more significant investment.
Yeah. Or to use your example, just to even repeal Obamacare and get rid of those excise taxes that made it, you know, so financially punitive for R&D and all of that, whether it's for medical devices or, you know, pharmaceuticals, antibiotics, things like that. We wouldn't have to rely on China. One last quick thing for you, Senator. This, because you mentioned, you know, the tariffs and the executive order. My concern is that conservatives are, they have a sugar high right now. From the quick, immediate satisfaction of executive orders. And then when it's too late and they're not able to affect that change change legislatively, we're going to get hit maybe in 2028, however this swings out. Is that, I mean, obviously that's a concern that you have because you're fighting so hard to make this permanent and heavier than what it is.
Yeah, with regard to the tariffs, they're being done by emergency order. So we're living under an emergency that President Trump has announced. I worry about if AOC wins in 28 and we have an AOC climate emergency and she says no more gasoline powered cars immediately. So you really don't want a government run by one person because you may like the current president, but you may not like the next president. It's always for those of us who believe in small constitutional government been an argument that no president should have too much power centralized. No federal government should have too much power centralized.
True, very true.
The power needs to be dispersed between the presidency and the Congress, but also between the federal government and the state governments and the local governments. So I continue to make these arguments that we don't want emergency orders, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat president.
I have to tell you, Senator, I think you may be only one of two lawmakers in D.C. who have been consistent to Tea Party ideals back in 2008 and 2009. Even when, you know, the winds are against you, you have been incredibly consistent, and we appreciate that. Appreciate your time today. Thanks so much, Senator Rand Paul. Good to see you. Gold Co. is making it easy to take that first step toward protecting your savings. Just fill out a quick form, no commitment, just free information. And then they'll ship you your free 2025 gold and silver kit straight to your door. No shipping fees, no strings, just a free info kit to help you understand how gold and silver can fit into your financial plan. I'm a big believer in doing your research, and this kit is a great place to start. So I'm really excited to be partnering with Gold Co. because not only do they support my show, which I truly appreciate, but they've made the whole process of buying precious metals super straightforward. Because if you're a fan of the show, Gold Co. is also going to tell you how to qualify for unlimited free bonus silver on eligible orders. If you qualify, you can even get a free half-ounce silver Ronald Reagan coin, totally free. Don't wait. Take that first step towards protecting and diversifying your savings with Gold Co. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
So I read that the DNC voted to nullify that Vice Twiggs victory to win vice chair, that David Hogg Twig kid. He's a grown adult man, but I don't know. He's built like a woman. He told me, he said once on CNN that I owned Congress. And then when I criticized CNN and said that they allow slander and all this stuff on their network, and then they had me on the next day to say, no, we don't. I'm like, you literally just had someone on that said that I, you know, kill kids and that I own Congress. Like, what are you talking about? It's not final, but they voted to kick him out of vice chair because of their gender roles. Oh, live by DEI, die by DEI. Meh, meh. All right, today in stupidity came.
All right, now I got something. This may, I need a little discernment, I think, from you on this one.
I love these scenarios. Go.
So Hakeem Jeffries, let's just play this, and you tell me whether or not he's threatening law enforcement here. Listen to this.
Your statement the other day after there was this incident in Newark, you said they better not touch our members.
Correct.
What happens if they were to go and arrest these members, or if they would try to sanction them during the House of Representatives?
They'll find out.
What would you do, though?
That's a red line.
What's the red line, though? I mean, I know we have this.
It's a red line. It's very clear.
Is it clear? Because you weren't clear at all.
He's trying to act tough, but also not answer the question, exactly. Which is the opposite of tough.
So
I'm going to be tough by on my vagary here.
How are we to interpret that?
Which is
that?
An oxymoron, but okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Stupid.
I may be on Waters World tonight. If you are subscribing, like the Facebook page, you'll see it there. Also, find us at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Back with you tomorrow. Have a great night.